Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
My name's Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show, firing off here on a wide open Wednesday. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mellonax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And he, of course, is my co-host, JC. Welcome in, sir.
Welcome to you too, Philip.
Welcome.
Welcome in. Got my Knight Rider impression. Repeated my Jason Statham theory that's about to drive my wife crazy. She's like, if you tell me that one more time,
yeah,
I'm going to kill you. Seriously.
Well, it's how they do it. I mean, you know, it's one of the more obvious ones.
Ethan said in the chat box, it is wide open Wednesday, by the way. You're just going to jump right in, right?
That's right.
Free for all, jump right in. I'm going to turn off these lights, too, that I use to record coffee in the morning. I don't know why I left them on.
Yeah.
I had a busy morning. My stepson, I had to take him to school today, and it was no protection day on Senior Assassin.
No protection. And
so this dude, so I don't think I made my instructions clear, because he was pointing to the backyard. He's like, I'm going to go right across that field, and you come pick me up. I was like, yeah, I'll pick you up right out there on 151st Street. So I go out there and there's cars behind me and he's not out there. And I'm talking on the phone. I got a business call going and he's not there. And then he starts blowing up my phone because the girl in the neighborhood was going to be sly yesterday and offered him a ride.
Oh, right.
Mm. But he's on her target list. He's like, they're chasing me. So I kind of had to be like the equalizer. Right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And so I finally had to get off my business call, turn around, finally found him. He's on the other road. I was like, when I point this way, does it mean take a left? Because you would have had to have gone out the backyard, go to the back gate, and then take a left. But he took that left, and I got to make sure he closed the back gate because my dog will get out otherwise. But anyway, so that was fun. And then, that was the highlight of my morning along with the business call. So I've been a little busy, but it's been fascinating today. Bad night last night at the ball yard from the Gamecocks. Would love to get your feedback in the chat box since it's wide open Wednesday. Want to hear what you thought about that. We're just going to get right to it, Phil.
Yeah. I watched the basketballs. But
Craig said if I were golden. Yeah, Craig said if I were golden, I'd hold on to re-signing with Florida to see if I can get the Kansas job. A guy like that, probably Kansas, North Carolina would appeal to his ego. I don't know that North Carolina would go on him through no fault of his own.
Hmm.
Or maybe through a fault of his own. I don't know if he fits their model. Now, Kansas, they don't really care. So Todd Golden is originally from Phoenix, kind of a West Coast guy, was an assistant at Auburn under Bruce Pearl, and then went to San Francisco as the associate head coach, and then was the head coach out there, and then now he's just killing it. Got San Francisco to the first round of the tournament, and then postseason every year at Florida. First year wasn't all that great, but then eventually got there. And the Gators have won 63 games and only lost 12 the last 2 years. So that would be interesting. But I'm with you, Craig. I wouldn't re-sign with Florida. I mean, Florida's a good basketball job. It used to not be, but it is now. But, you know, you're not the king there. By the way, I look like some kind of like Sultan with this, the way my hat is right now.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a good look.
I need a haircut. So that's why I'm wearing the cover. Princess Hot Chicken.
For Princess Hot Chicken.
Ethan said Donovan. That's who I wanted us to get. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Billy Donovan wouldn't come to South Carolina. Unless he was just like done with the pros and then scratched an itch to get back in.
Yeah, let me just do this and show if I still got it.
Yeah, you need a Spurrier type of thing. Ethan says, I think pro coaches will start to realize that coaching in college isn't that much different than the pros anymore. To a certain extent, but I still think the pro game's different because you're managing. You got things in the NBA like load management. You're at the mercy of a general manager. In college, you can pick your own players. The college season's shorter, too. But you do have to – it's not a professional environment. People want to talk about that all the time. It's a pro sports now. It is and it isn't. And in pro sports, everybody has a contract. If one of those two entities does not do their job, you get fired or cut. Right?
That's right.
Bottom line, in college, you're babysitting people that are making money and kissing their butt because they don't have to stay. They can just they're not obligated to do anything.
They can feign injury and sit the bench all game. You know, I mean, hey,
who told you Kansas was going out early and the Jayhawk fans are going to turn on that again?
Yeah, I knew better than that. I was like, nope, I'm not buying it. I picked St. John's to take them out. So
that's such a waste too, because if Peterson had half of Michael Jordan's competitiveness in him,
right?
Or if he had, you know, I mean, just or 75% of LeBron's, because those two things are different. Mm-hmm. Or name any great player. If he just had he's so talented, he'd be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. Sometimes people in college now, they just ignore development. So, and it's not just developing physically either. You know, you learn responsibility.
Right.
Everybody talked about Christopher Walken. Good to see Jan in the chat box. My main man, Jan. He said, I need more cowbell. thanks to Bill for the Hasselhoff thing. Jay Frew says, oh, by the way, Jay Frew, happy birthday.
Oh. Happy birthday.
I didn't know that. I was on X yesterday.
Yeah, I missed that.
Our friends at Cocky Hospitality mentioned him. It's happy birthday to my main man, Jay. Kids in the Hall was pretty good. Ed Begley Jr., Howie Mandel, Clint Knight Industries 2000. Yeah, we got to get us a Knight Rider intro for the show. We got to do something
about it. Throw something in here.
Mm-hmm. You know. Brent says the Transporter movies, solid flicks. Yeah, I mean, dude, Parker's an underrated Jason Statham movie. Jay said Jason Statham and clowns are people too. Jay Diz, I heard Working Man that came out last year was pretty good. It was written by a comic book guy that did Bane and Conan. I watched it the other night, and it's very well written and a nice movie, but it's still the same storyline. Jason Statham is, I don't want to spoil it because you can watch it, but. He has a past. He's just an everyman trying to blend in, and then somebody ultimately messes with somebody he cares about.
Yep.
And he tries not to get back in, and then he finally, after a moment of hesitancy, goes back to his former.
All life. In.
and what happens. But Working Man's good. I mean, they're all the same. Mm. But I'm there for it. Clint says the funniest Walken is the Connie Stinson show skit from SNL. Mr. Feeney still living, 99 years young.
Oh, wow.
Roger's in from Woodruff. He is in. I can't believe JB texted us about something that I'll know. Here in a second. It's not news or anything.
No.
Roger's in from Woodruff. He's in every week. I missed the live show last week because I was in Asheville. Been cutting grass at Ponderosa. Yeah. You got me excited. I thought there was a Ponderosa Steakhouse in Woodruff now.
I know.
That's what he calls his house. Ready for ITG and relaxation. Thanks, Roger. Appreciate you. Topanga, the Pink Ranger, and Kelly Kapowski. Thank you, 90s television. Yeah. So Mike is always topical. Micah's got some college football revolutionary. Viva la revolution.
Viva la revolution.
He's a reformer. Can you explain about why big TV contracts matter so much going forward? If a non-brand school has a few willing billionaires, they can close whatever gap TV is trying to create. For example, Memphis has FedEx money. ECU could get crazy money from Mr. Beast, who's also a multi-billionaire. Who cares what your brand is anymore? Brands controlled a market that was untapped. Now the free market's open in college sports. I think brand matters very little now. I think TV money should be highly overrated going forward. The TV money dwarfs anything any individual could do. For example, South Carolina got $72 million from the SEC this year. The vast majority of that's from television. And the only reason they pay out that much is because they can make that plus 20, 30%. Because the ratings are so, they can charge as the advertisers lining up.
Yeah. And so, if anything were to change on the NIL or player, you know, payment front, it's going to be the private money first, and the revenue is going to be the bucket you draw from.
And I'll tell you this, man, Micah, just to be honest, you're not wrong in theory, but like people talk about Tyson Chicken and Walmart and all that money in Northwest Arkansas, all that business and commerce, Arkansas struggles mightily for football NIL. They had a private donor fund Calipari. You know, people talk about, you know, talk about FedEx and all that money. There, Memphis loses bukus of players in the portal every year because of money. East Carolina is probably it's damaged that athletic program. I think NIL, because it's just not and the brands, the reason why the brands are big through time is the, you get to be a big brand, the more people that watch is based on success. And largely in college football, success is based on your recruiting base, and your recruiting base is usually in big states, which means big schools, more lumps. Not universal, but that's it. So the brands still matter. Do I think that brands should dictate reward in terms of like some of these people? And I think, and it's okay if you're out in the audience and you have this opinion. I'm not calling you an idiot, but there's some big idiots out there that want to see college football go like English Premier League soccer with relegation. And then there's some models out there of some people that I think quite frankly are greedy and unrealistic that they've been pitching, where these big brands get this and then the rest get that, like in the SEC. Like they want to give, you know, and it's like, okay, well, if you were doing this in the 90s, Tennessee and Florida would be getting a lot of money. Right now, after 30 years, you wouldn't give those programs that much. You know, you give it to LSU or Bama. They don't draw as much because they're not as good.
Yeah.
And that just, to me, you're like, you know, it already is a situation in college sports where there are advantages the more resources you have and the quote unquote bigger brand you are because of the money aspect. And now you just want to, okay, so we're not going to evenly distribute this TV money. You know, we're going to do this. So then why the hell have a conference at all? I mean, what's the point of the conference if you can't collectively get TV deals? I think that's crazy. But yeah, Mike, unfortunately, your brand does matter, but with the way, but your brand is not, whereas it used to be, your brand kind of kept you in business roster-wise, and then also kept, more importantly, kept your opponents from getting good players. Those days are over.
Yeah. Blake, what do you think about the, you know, expanding the ability for conferences to pool together to do
like all of college football negotiates. Yeah. If it would lead to football conferences going back to making sense, like in other words, Phil, if you got 64 and you put them back in with geography mattered again.
Went back to regionality, right, yeah.
I would be fine with that, but the SEC and Big Ten are never going to go for it. Why? Why wouldn't the SEC and Big Ten just envelop the other two Power Four conferences and then both get separate TV deals and all that? But that's the money thing is one argument or one point, and the people that care about that or that, but –
Well, I think it'd be perfect for the G5.
The G5 should do it, and they should have their own playoff. But they think they're the little dudes at the party that are standing in the corner that are just happy to be invited. But if you try to take away their keg cup, they're going to complain and probably rat you out to your girlfriend. Blake says, by the way, you get worried about us hearing your dog on coffee, but I never seem to hear. Your headphones must be great. Just figured I'd let you know. Yeah, the door is not too far from where I'm at, and he sometimes he's been barking, and I have to pause it. I try to pause it pretty quick, but anyway, I hear him. I'm like, dude, you just went out. He's getting seen out.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Jay Fru said John had the cutest dog on yesterday. Good. Roger said, I think it's going to take Monty a little while to get the Maneri out of the bats. Marlott and Philpott could have helped last night, but they were sick. Yeah, I don't know if that's so much. I said this earlier, and JB mentioned it to me one time. With kind of the Lee approach, you're going to probably see, correct me if I'm wrong, more strikeouts. Because you're going deeper into the counts, but you're going to see a lot less like ground outs and flyouts. Wasn't a good night at the plate. I'm not spinning anything.
It's the approach is different because you're trying to create a deeper count and a higher pitch count. Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're wrong, Roger. I'm saying I agree with you there. Most people will say that. I'm just saying I wouldn't expect all of a sudden for the Gamecocks to just be not striking out. But there's a lot of good baseball teams that strike out a lot. I mean, that's not necessarily.
Well, I mean, it's all baseball now, right? You know? Yeah. And today is actually the first practice the team will have under Monty Lee and the new revamped coaching staff.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me. Like, when you brought that up yesterday, I was like, wow.
Dexter said baseball played good enough to win until the pitchers decided to hit the backstop instead of the catcher's glove. That was unfortunate, right?
Yeah, it was.
But one bad inning, really. That was supposed to be 9-1. But still, I mean, like Monty Lee said yesterday, you know, in the post game, he said, you know, we didn't do enough to help our pitchers early and get the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they didn't. So who knows? Just go shoot, you know, Georgia. I mean, and again, your starters and your frontline pitchers are going to be there this weekend.
Yeah. They've
done pretty good. Matt says, JB didn't answer this earlier after his rant, but said more players should have come forward after the Paul article from Whittle. Do you think Monty and other assistants should have as well? And is Donati to blame for letting it go to season two? And what is senior assassin? All right, I'll talk about that in a second. Look, just like with okay, so I thought there was enough there with that article to say this definitely isn't working. But when you have players from the roster, significant ones, defending the coach and tweeting things like "Don't believe everything you hear," then okay, you know, then that's gonna that if you're the athletics director, you know, you're gonna do that, and then. You know, could that have happened? Yeah, I mean, there are players that voice complaints, but was any of that something that rose to the level of instant termination? I think collectively it did. And I think you probably could have had a case for calls. But you also have a coach that's a Hall of Fame coach that's in his first year. You just got there as the AD. You know, are you really going to – are you going to – I think it's legit to listen to the people that work for you when they say, well, it's just the players, you know, and through the players, I'll go get all new players. Okay. Because an AD needs to give them the resources. So I don't know how Jeremiah Donati would have seen what came. I mean, what's he supposed to do? It's a Hall of Fame baseball coach. You assume he knows the sport.
Right.
Right. You assume that. I mean, yeah, the answer is yes. I mean, if you'd had a player like a majority of those dudes, now, do I think Monty and other assistants should? No, they value their job. Monty Lee directly reported to Paul Palminieri. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just no way you could have done that. I mean, if you're Monty Lee, not me. I mean, it's kind of not his. Now, if the AD brings him in under cover of night and says, hey, tell me the truth, then that's your boss's boss. And yes, that's your boss too. So, but I don't, those types of things get you fired unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Senior assassin is this. Okay. It does sound not PC. It's a little uncomfortable. But so the kids are on teams, and then like there's certain rules, and you got to go kind of hunt your classmates and get them around town and get them with water guns, and then they're out. So it's like a big game of laser tag, I guess, but with water guns.
Right.
And you got to wear goggles and do some other things, like, you know, wear goggles and a floaty sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of rules. But Cole's down he's down the path a little bit toward the championship. I don't know what you win other than pride. I mean, these guys, all these kids at this school have senioritis so bad right now, because it's been it's been cold and warm. Like last Tuesday, it was 14. Last Friday, it was 77. But there's been more warm days than normal. And so they've got senioritis so bad. I mean, I see them all over the place. So that's kind of what it is. So. Denzel was awesome in the Magnificent Seven. Yes. Happy birthday to Fru, Blake says. Roger, there's a guy in Spartanburg, co-owns a local sports station there. He's a good friend of Whittle. He thinks USC needs to hire a top assistant at an SEC school that has done roster building in this era. Is that Whittle's opinion or Whittle's friend?
I don't know. I'm trying to think about who it is.
Probably Ryan. I don't know. I don't want to say. So clarify that. You know, Ethan says Monty Lee needs a few weeks of practice. Yeah. Like last night, they hadn't even practiced yet. I'm not making any excuses, and neither is Monty Lee.
No.
Not last night, but you know.
No. Some of these people are like, this just isn't going to work. You can tell already. I'm like, well, you know, maybe.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
And yeah, maybe you're an early adopter there, and you never really wanted it to happen in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think three games with no practices is a resume.
I don't know. You know. Chaco says, what's you guys' favorite music buyout movie? Bohemian Rhapsody is my pick. I like that one. The Doors. Now, Mike Morgan does not like that.
He doesn't like the movie The Doors.
Movie The Doors, because when Val Kilmer passed away, we talked about it. I like The Doors, I think.
Yeah, I liked The Doors.
That's a pretty solid one. Mm-hmm. Dexter says, can Monty tell Rooney to go? No, but Rooney's not really doing much.
No, yeah, but you know.
So JDS says, it's time to get rid of any medical privacy on these players. With spending millions on these guys, we need to know medical problems. I heard Peak had a knee before he heard it even worse. That's not true. He didn't have any injuries before. I mean, I'm not saying the person is lying to you, Jay Diz, but he heard it playing basketball. Now, maybe was there some soreness there or something? I hadn't heard that, but you're never going to get, you don't get medical. So before I go down this path, Jay Diz, are you talking about fans or are you talking about the coaches? Because the coaches do, you got to pass a physical and go through the doctor process. You get checked out before they bring you in on scholarship. So clarify there, bud. Roger said he was on the air yesterday and let Maneri have it. Didn't like his confidence. So it's the guy from the media.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody liked that. I thought it was Klein. JD says, I heard Thomas was told no thanks by UJ and Miami. The team minimum. Miami didn't offer him anything. because of his medical. Not fair for teams to risk so much money. Yeah, everybody checks everybody out. I don't think anybody's hiding injuries.
Yeah.
The fans just don't know about it because of HIPAA laws. But yeah. Wanna be well. Emery Williams, Total Fitness, says, love you guys. The show is so awesome. We love you too, man. Thank you, Emery. Like, you want to be well. His taste handles want to be well. All right. Go to D's Wings. Because today's special day, right?
Today is. Yeah, it's Wednesday.
D's Wings, pitcher of beer, $29. D's Wings, West Columbia. Proud sponsor of Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We'll be back on the other side. After this, who's the worst hire in USC history? Roger says it's probably Paul Maneri. I don't know that I can argue. I think it's the most shocking. We'll be back after this on the show.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
We are officially opened at the all-new JT's Kia. You've got to see it to believe it.
We're serious about making your buying experience fast, friendly, and hassle-free.
Get grand opening 0% for 60 months on new JT's Kias. Put no money down and get my million-mile warranty. I'm so excited, savings up to $10,000.
I'll throw in $5,000 over book value for your trade. That's a grand opening for the record books.
Hurry to the all-new JT's Kia.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality. Included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via gamecocktraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again
Sports. I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
Now is the time. Finish your hardwood floors with Recoat Revolution. Beautiful like new floors in just one day. Hardwood, vinyl, laminate, concrete, tile floors. Any floor. We can do it. No dust, affordable, and 5 stars. Give us a call in South Carolina, 803-397-1365. Or visit us at RecoatRevolution.com. Go Gamecocks.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on the Chief Sports app, the Inside the Gamecocks YouTube channel, and on our X accounts. Hosted by Rob Williams and Craig McMichael, talking the week that was and what's to come in the SEC. Join us every week for SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com. Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions, proud supporters of your South Carolina Gamecocks.
If you have experienced water damage, storm damage, fire or smoke damage, or need mold remediation, you need RestoPros of the Midlands. Visit RestoProsMidlandsSC.com and go Gamecocks.
Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. to the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Second hour of Inside the Gamecocks, the show here on a wide open Wednesday, coming at you, talking about all kinds of things because it is wide open Wednesday. So if you're not a regular Club Chief member, today is the day to hop in the chat box and sound off for free on YouTube. Although, welcome, Andy.
Welcome, Andy.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Bob Ross pick.
I love the Bob Ross pick.
Yeah. It's big amazing. Bob Ross fan. Oh, speaking gosh. Of, yeah, well, that was a documentary, not a biopic, but
yeah.
If you didn't see that, yeah,
Happy
Disasters or whatever for Bob Ross on Netflix, it's definitely worth a watch.
Krager says they swung at a ton of curves that weren't there. All right. And you can tell they're trying to be patient, Dexter Sweat said, but then go back to swinging and everything, yeah. Matt, I'll add this, you know, because you said if Monty Lee valued the players and program, he could have stepped up. There's nobody that values the players and program. There's a handful of people that would even be on Monty Lee's level in that. I think because he valued the players and program, that, you know, you're not going to sit there, you know, because here's the thing. You get fired. How are you serving your players? And they're all in that situation.
Yeah. It also could have been construed under the new athletic director as Monty just trying to get Paul's job.
Yeah.
Not a lot of credence put to that. So he was in a tough spot. And you know, like JC said, if he were asked to say something, I'm sure he didn't conceal anything.
Yeah. So it was Ryan Clary on WSPA. Yeah. That said that Enos is catching, wants Talmadge to go to DH, Randolph or Braylon at catcher. Yeah, it could be. The ability for other teams to steal bases on Carolina speaks for itself. And Matt says the Motley Crue Netflix documentary is awesome. Ethan likes Craddock at third. Jada says coaches, not fans. Coaches, no. They check them all out.
Yeah.
In peak, you know, they all pass a physical. It's just like the pros. In fact, there's been guys that have visited and that hasn't checked out. And Carolina said, thanks, but no thanks. The Beatles biopic coming out in 2028 per Harrison. The Only Cock says, should Hubert Davis be considered for South Carolina coach? I don't think he'd be interested, and I don't think Carolina would be either.
Yeah.
So they're going to release four separate movies on each band member for the Beatles, and they're all coming out the same day. You need to tell your wife about that.
Well, so I just, after, you know, on Harrison's request here, I've looked it up, and yeah, it's interesting. They are doing four separate films, all to release in April of 2028, essentially on the same day, that will be intertwined with, yeah, it'll be interesting. For a full cinematic event is what, you know, it's being billed as. Interesting casting, though. I'd be interested to see who's who here.
Matt says, any chance Ray Tanner? Yeah, me too. Ray Tanner puts out a public statement about the parliamentary tenure. No, it's not his job.
No, yeah, you're no.
Not his job. But I doubt it. Now, look, Ray still talks to the media and goes on interviews and stuff. I'm sure he'll get asked about it at some point. So, but yeah, JDS says, I heard one men's basketball player was hiding an injury that transferred in this past year. Not sure which player. I know the process in the NFL wasn't sure how much access college coaches had to medical info. Yeah, they have all of it. And it's up to your staff to vet it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Roger said, I look for Donati to hire someone with no ties to Tanner at all. Anybody's guess? I could be dead wrong. I don't know. It depends. Tiffany said, where are we? We get the ITG website. We need sanity. May. That's all I can say about that.
We need
sanity. The no walk throw Hollins out play lost the game. I'm blaming it on the umps. Way to go. Matt says, I'm a Monty fan. I'm just ticked that the Paul experiment went this long and ruined another season. Yeah, it's a long season. You never know. There's a Paul McCartney bio on Prime, Ed says. And Harrison talks about the Beatles. So I want to go back to this topic. The worst, Roger brought up, the worst hire in football, men's basketball, baseball in the history of South Carolina athletics. Not individual sports, though, because baseball, it's easy. You know, and we're going modern era here. I'm sure there may have been some clown show back in the 20s that coached, you know, he's got some legend. Well, we got this guy that he was at the local YMCA and he coached for a year. And, you know, he stole a train. He's an outlaw. He was hiding his identity. Robber. He was Billy the Kid, William Bonnie. Coach Bonnie, you who I'll make you famous. But in baseball, I mean, none of them have been bad hires. Bobby Richardson was a transformational hire. June Raines was legendary. It was here for many years, 17 years or so. Ray Tanner replaced him. Yeah, Chad Holbrook's a good coach. Mark Kingston's a good coach. Neither one of those guys worked out, but they're the head coaches at College of Charleston and Creighton now.
Yeah, right. It's not like they're retired. They're
out of coaching. So I think Maneri has to be it in baseball. Basketball? And we're just talking fired, right? We're not talking current.
No.
Right. Lamont's numbers are not good, but he does have an NCAA tournament berth. Darren Horn did not.
Horn is where
The candidates for basketball would be Darren Horn and Steve Newton.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll write those now. Football, I would have to go Richard Bell, who was there here for one glorious year. Now, he was kind of the internal promotion, because he was the D coordinator for like 7 years. Like Clayton White has to coach here another year to match his tenure as an assistant. Or is it Brad Scott?
I'm
or other, or are you going to go with someone else? So for football, it's different. And then we're going to come up with finalists.
We're going to come up with finalists.
Then we're going to poll the people. So to see what it is, you know, worst are Paul, Maneri, Brad Scott, Newton, and Horn. Tiffany talked about the website launching in May. So my birthday month, perfect gift.
Yeah.
My wife's birthday month as well. Yeah,
that's right.
And my brother's May 26th.
So. Month.
Okay. Ethan, first one to vote. Worst are Paul, Maneri, Brad Scott, Newton, and Horn. You got to pick one between Newton and Horn. Can't go double up on sports, Ethan. So, But Palminteri, Brad. So I got one vote for Brad, one vote for Palminteri. Palminteri's obvious. Dexter says basketball is Horn. Okay, so one for Darren Horn. Dexter said Brad Scott cared more about catch up than football.
Interims don't count, right? Are we going to allow interims? All right.
Not going to allow interims. Like Mike Bobo and Sean Elliott are not part of this. Ethan says Steve Newton in basketball. Quantrell says the worst coach in Gamecock history, any of them that were forced to wear Russell Athletic. Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier had to rock the Russell.
That's right.
So Jay Diz points out that the George Felton thing was in there. George Felton played for Frank McGuire at South Carolina, was an assistant under Bobby Crimmins at Georgia Tech. They hired him. He was recruiting up a storm. I mean, yeah, JoJo English, Joe Rett, Barry Manning, Jeff Ralston, Brent Price was there for a while. It was Mark Price's brother. He was a great recruiter and was 25 games over 500. They're about to go in the SEC, and they fired him for off-the-court stuff. I often wonder what would have happened. And then there was a fiasco. I mean, you guys think some coaching searches under Ray Tanner, the outcomes may not have worked, but the fiasco, the nature of it, it's nothing like a King Dixon coaching search, which happened twice. Once ended with Sparky Woods, once ended with Steve Newton, and a host of good coaches pulled out or were never offered or were told no thanks. So, but JDS is going for Felton and Newton was a huge downgrade. Felton was a genius coach. I got to work out for Newton and my dad asked me what I thought of him. I just said, the program's cooked. They used that term back then, cooked.
Cooked.
Cooked. Hey, OJ Diz. Yeah, man, I am. He was just – and, dude, they got – I remember they had a lot of good players back that first year there in the SEC. And the SEC at the time, folks, was basically Kentucky and Arkansas. Arkansas was good in the Southwest Conference. And then, like, 10 dwarfs. Like, nobody was all that in a bag of chips outside of those two teams. Florida was terrible at the time. Mm-hmm. And so South Carolina had English and I believe Barry Manning. They had that core of guys back off of a 20-win team that went to the NIT that at one point was 18-5 and bottomed out and finished 2-8. That was something Felton's teams did do. They would tire out at the end for some reason in the Metro. And there were divisions back then in basketball. Carolina was picked. I remember got the Athlon, or no, I got Dick Vitale's college basketball guide. That's how I memorized all the mascots because I got that when I was a kid. SEC, South Carolina was picked second behind Kentucky. And it was Newton's first year. And so with that core of good players, he went 3-13 in the league. And then, so kind of similar to Palminteri. And I don't know that Palminteri had that good of a team that he inherited, but he did inherit an NCAA tournament team. And so then they lost everybody. There was a lot of bad situations. Carlos Turner was a recruit out of Louisville he got. And I think he ended up getting charged with a serious crime. I can't remember exactly. I don't want to say what I think it is because I don't remember for sure. I think they had a forward that collapsed and died of a heart attack. It was just a mess. And he got Emmett Hall in. And then Jamie Watson was a Felton recruit that had kind of stayed on. And those guys ended up playing for Fogler, but he was out after 2 years because during that period as well, Mike McGee took over as the AD. And so that was an easy fire, but he was a bad hire. And it's crazy. You got him from Murray State, you know, sometimes the Murray State coaches, Mick Cronin coached there, all that good stuff. So Newton by nose over Horn, Bell, and Maneri. Yeah, you gotta choose. If your vote's for Newton, you gotta go Newton, Bell, and Maneri. You gotta choose one. You gotta here are the rules. I put the rules on the refrigerator. You gotta go one for each sport, and then pick the grand poobah, the worst of the three. Oh, Tanner was a Hall of Fame basketball coach. How he was allowed to be the second longest AD in school history with such terrible hires. Decimation of the men's basketball and baseball programs. Fundraising ability. I don't know about I mean, by the time these hires came into focus, Tanner was out.
Yeah, I mean.
So he did good with fundraising, managed it. What I liked about him, just to be honest, was he supported his coaches. You know, they weren't nickel and diamond football, and he spent a lot on football. And the department ran well. But I would just be, because I get accused of, you shouldn't stand up for him. Well, just because he didn't make any good hires, we can't say any of them are good right now in men's sports. I hope Shane Beamer ends up being. I think there's signs that point to that.
Yeah.
Heck, I hope Laurent Paris ends up being. The baseball hires, it just got progressively, you know.
That one's, you're just like,
oh, that one's God. A head scratcher. Yeah, but who knew? You know, who knew?
Yeah, even then it was like, you know, like Holbrook and Kingston weren't bad. It just didn't meet expectations.
And that's what's so bad about the Maneri era, dude, is like, yeah. This wasn't even like they're not meeting expectations. We have standards. It's you're the bottom of the SEC.
You fell off the cliff.
You're done, Dundee and gone, Gandhi. So I liked some things about, you know, every athletic director that's been at South Carolina since McGee had positives and negatives.
Yeah.
But they all kind of served a purpose. But I can't sit here and stand up for any of the hires. And, you know, so some made sense on paper. There were some like Will Muschamp that I think served a purpose at the time, you know, that really things could have gone into the abyss in football had it not been for some of the work he did to get it back to your heads above water. But yeah. Did he win enough? Absolutely not. And he got fired. It was not a popular hire at all. You know, with Beamer, it's been inconsistent. There's been some great moments. With some not so great moments, you know, we'll see. You know, it used to be at South Carolina, you could kind of predict what was going to happen. You know, like Will Muschamp beat the teams he should beat until some of those teams like Missouri and Tennessee got better, and then he didn't beat them. And then he never, you know, very little, and, you know, there's one big upset the whole time against Georgia. Steve Spurrier, honestly, like clockwork, you know, you kind of knew they would beat most of the teams they should beat. He had a heater going against Clemson. And then, you know, their teams Carolina was going to roll against, and then they'd lose to an SEC West team and maybe somebody in the East, maybe two Wests in a year when they got it going. You knew that. You know, Lou Holtz couldn't beat Florida or Tennessee or Clemson because he knew the Orange Crush was not in lose. But Beamer's been so unpredictable. It's like, 1 year you do this and 1 year you do that. So it's, and maybe it's the portal era and the rosters and all that. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But it's been unpredictable. Carolina's never quite had a coach that's, especially the SEC era where it's been like that, where you expect anything. I'd rather expect anything than what I expected under Paul Maneri. But so I don't know. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that are, you know, gonna not be fond of Tanner's hires if, let's say, Beamer and Lamont don't work out. It's not gonna be looked upon with grace, but I still think the guy, you know, in many ways is a foundational pillar in Mount Rushmore of University of South Carolina athletics simply because what he did on the baseball field. Mm-hmm. And there were things as an AD he did really well too. Now, I think the new era for a lot of folks, ADs included, it's just not, you know, it's just something that, you know, it's a headache.
Yeah.
Like that thing. So that's my Tanner thing. Heinz ketchup. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was Hunts, Jeffrey Hunts. This ain't no candy ketchup. My vote's Brad Scott for football. And it's really because of how he left. And then His better teams had a lot of Sparky Woods players on them. Now, he did leave Lou Holtz a lot of good players. But he also kind of how he left and how he acted afterward. I mean, maybe I don't know how you could interpret. All right, so here's what he said the day he got fired. Back then, you'd have a press conference when he got fired. He's like, well, I couldn't go 1-10 and keep my job at the middle school. Yeah, probably not, Brad. But then, like, the feedback, the bitterness and the spitefulness, and then going to Clemson and trying to tear it all down, I don't know. Maybe some fans got on him a little bit. Maybe make his weight, when they made fun of his weight, he took it personally. All that good stuff. Maybe it was just that kind of thing that he took personally. But I think that was the worst, because that was a damaging, like, his tenure ended with a lot of damage to the program. And he continued to try to damage the program later. So I think that was the worst, you know, over Richard Bell, who gave, you know, who probably deserved the job at the time and then gave way to Joe Morrison, and a lot of things that we love and admire about Gamecock football today were because of Coach Joe. Sparky Woods was bad, if it not for Tannehill. Yeah, you know, Lawman, he actually, Todd Ellis not gotten hurt in 89, that team was probably winning 6, 7, 8 games and going to a bowl. And then the next year, the Bobby Fuller year one was okay. They lost to Citadel at home, but went 6-5. And then there was a bad year, the final year of the Independent. Then it got really bad, and then Tannehill. So you kind of got a point. You know, Sparky recruited well. He tried, you know, the AD at the time. And maybe this is why I'm a little militant about ADs need to give their coaches, because there's been situations at Carolina where, like Sparky Woods, his assistant coaches, they had to go get second jobs and stuff.
Right.
I mean,
a different time.
And the reason he was hired, what I'm told, pray tell, maybe it's inaccurate, somebody tell me, but that Jimmy Satterfield, who was a Carolina alum and who had won a national championship at Furman in 1988, national championship winning coach. Sparky was merely good at App State. He took over from Mack Brown when Mack Brown left for Tulane. And he was just merely good, right? Not great. Playoff team. He's okay. His name was Sparky Woods. That's kind of cool. But the way they hired this was like, oh, you know, whoever's staff was cheaper. Satterfield had so many good assistant coaches on his staff. I mean, Robbie Call, all those people. You know, they should have hired Dick Sheridan from NC State. That would have been the splash hire at the time. But that was not going to happen. So, but that's it. But, yeah, I'd have to go with Brad Scott. Sparky Woods would definitely be in the conversation. I'd take Muschamp over both of those guys. You know, Muschamp had it harder. I mean, you replace Steve Spurrier at South, the winningest coach in history. You take over a roster with 20 guys that can play football. You manage to scratch out some overachieving seasons, and then the bottom falls out. Then you have you look at Will Muschamp's coaching career as a head coach, not a coordinator. He's a 3-time national champion coordinator. As a head coach, what more could go wrong? I mean, you get that 2020 season, man. So you hire Bobo, you get him in, Des Kitchings is in. I mean, staff was pretty good. And then you looked at the schedule, and I've always said this, you had Coastal coming in. Now, Coastal was really, really good. The Muschamp era could have ended in one day in the opener. But after that, you had a so-so East Carolina team. You had Vanderbilt coming in. They weren't very good. And then you had, I think, Missouri at home, at Kentucky, and then Missouri. The schedule that year in 2020, I remember talking to somebody who was on the staff, and they're like, some people are going to be happy because that's probably a 3-0 start.
Yeah, we're getting off to a good start, looks like. And then
then a once-in-a-century pandemic hits the country. And chaos. And then all of a sudden, it's like, all right, here's the schedule. Tennessee and Florida back-to-back to open the season.
Right. Not only that, we're going to play 10 straight conference games. 10
straight SEC games, and players can opt out at will. And I'm just,
what a mess.
But,
old Sparky's at Missouri State with his son right now. I didn't know.
Yeah, Casey Woods. Yeah. TD says, even puts Muschamp on his honorable mention list. Horn and Kingston on the list, too. TD says worst hire of all time is Maneri, single-handedly ruined the program. Well, the program's not dead yet, but he did bottom it out. I don't know about ruined, but it's the worst it's been in over a half century.
He's taken it to the edge of the abyss.
Yes. Roger said Felton's last team had a bad second half, but would have loved to have seen how he did in the SEC. He was a good recruiter. Yeah, he was. Fantastic. Harrison says Muschamp at least left the program better than it was when he was hired. Roster-wise, yes. The whole Muschamp era wasn't good enough by any means, but it was time. But, man, he had some terrible luck while he's here. Injuries, yes. Yes.
Man, yeah.
Mastad said my friend Brad Henson walked on that team. Matt says since Lou Holtz didn't quit after he went 0-11, it's definitely Paul. Paul peaked his opening presser, yeah. SC said Muschamp was desperate. Bad hire by Tanner. Muschamp was already damaged goods nobody really wanted. That hire alone could have gotten an AD fired at some schools. Based on like what I'm told was told around college with other schools, that's he would have gotten another job eventually. Somebody would have hired him. Because at the time it was more like, well, they just needed an offense at Florida. He's an elite recruiter. He's the head coach in waiting at Texas. So, you know, a bad hire, Lawman, SC Lawman said that, would have been Willie Taggart, who did get an interview, who was the hot name, or Greg Schiano would have been. Rich Rodriguez, I don't think, would have been a stellar hire here. I don't think Garrett Riley would have been a good hire here. People may disagree. The only difference between those hires and Will Muschamp is they didn't have the track record at Florida. But you know what? Muschamp only got 4 years and some change.
Yeah.
And they fired him during a pandemic. So he didn't have this long rope. Now, the contract extension after 7-6 to the sixth year, that's debatable. But, they needed a guy that knew how to recruit and evaluate talent, and none of these other guys that they got a shot at were going to do that. I don't know. Was it one that inspired? Was it a gambling, a risky hire? Yeah. You know, you replace Steve Spurrier, you want to hire a guy that inspires everybody. Keep it going. But that's why I thought Tom Herman would have been a good hire. And Tom Herman, until he got to Florida Atlantic for whatever reason. See, I think, was Herman with the Bears before he went to Florida Atlantic? Maybe the NFL ruined him. I thought that was a great hire. Young guy, could inject some energy in the program, dynamic offense and defense, great recruiter. Urban Meyer tree. I thought it would have worked. I think Kirby Smart, would Carolina have been patient with him? Because Georgia, keep in mind that second year he was there, that was Mark Richt left the whole team.
Right.
Would Carolina have been patient? So after that 17, so 18, 19, 20. Yep. So 3 more years, and then he started getting it going. I don't know. I think Kirby's a better coach now than he was when he took the Georgia job, and he gets better every year. But we'll see. Harrison says, consider the injuries you had while the rivals. Yeah, that was something bad. Mastad says, Muschamp ended just like we all thought it would. You thought a pandemic was going to hit? I doubt.
No.
Jeffrey says football Heinz ketchup. Hunts. It was a Hunts ketchup, folks.
I'm a Hunts guy, too.
Ross says if Monty Lee makes it the postseason and wins some games, would he be under serious consideration for the job? Possibly bring Landon Powell on and Matt Price as assistant coaches. I don't know anything about Price. Landon Powell's a head coach. Maybe there's rumblings of Powell. I think if he gets this team to the NCAA tournament, probably strong consideration.
You give him a look, right? Yeah, a long one. Yeah, I mean.
JD says losing Joe Rhett was a killer. Yeah, Rhett was really good and had a heart problem. Had to be sidelined. Felton was amazing at noticing everything in practice. He could improve your game in just one practice. Yeah. Heck of a basketball coach. Baseball, Maneri, football, Bell, basketball, Newton. Yeah. But Horn was a dishonorable mention, close second. Both from mid-major Kentucky schools, right? Besides that, Shea Beamer is just decent. No one in the country hires Beamer at South Carolina. It makes you look not serious. I don't know, man. I'm going to let that go. Who else hired Todd Golden at Florida basketball?
I mean, right.
Knocking down his door.
There are, yeah, it's...
Anybody in the country want to hire Dabo or Ed Orgeron, they won national championships. The only other school that wanted to hire Kirby was South Carolina. He was at,
I don't think South Carolina hires Shane Beamer if he had not previously worked here under Spurrier. That's the thing, too. And wasn't South Carolina native. I mean, you know, it's like he would have found his way up and got a job. It may not have been.
What about Kurt Cignetti? You want to throw that one in there, too? Who else was knocking down his door? He had to take the Indiana job. So my point is, Miss Todd, that has nothing to do with anything. There's too many examples of coaches that everybody wanted that have sucked donkey, you know what?
Yeah.
And then there's too many examples of coaches that were kind of under the radar hires that turned out pretty doggone well. So that's just not true. Unless you don't care about winning football games and you just care about winning the press conference, which I'll admit, winning the press conference is fun. All right. So,
well, listen, and to be honest, at that time when you're hiring head coach, you're rolling the dice anyway, because you are entering into a brave new landscape. Like, there's NIL that just started. You're coming off the pandemic, and you didn't at that time, you could not have completely foreseen where we are right now. So, every hire in 2001 through essentially 2022 was a dice roll.
Yeah, definitely. Besides that, Beamer's going to work out because not much is expected. Win seven games and he's good. That's not true either. I mean, next year you go from 4 to 7 wins. Depends on how those 7 wins look. I think South Carolina football, when you look at other schools that have expectations of football, Mastod, we're living in a world where Auburn hadn't had a winning season since they did, like Malzahn's last year. Malzahn won 6 freaking SEC games and got fired. And look at them. I mean, they've almost, somebody said ruined the program. They've almost ruined the football program at Auburn. Look at Florida. They fired Dan Mullen, who won a lot because of recruiting rankings. You know, I don't think some of these schools that sit there and act like they're big and bad and serious necessarily always make good decisions. Now, sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. Oh, I got another example. No one would have hired Marcus Freeman either as a head coach.
Oh, you're right.
He was going to somewhere, Ohio State, somewhere like that, as the D coordinator. Or LSU. He's going to LSU with Brian Kelly as the D coordinator. He's turned out pretty well. All right. And Mastod, you make great points. I'm not saying you're out of bounds here.
You're out of line.
You're not out of line, dude. I appreciate it. So, yeah, I dig it, man. I dig it. All right, we'll be back in a minute on the show.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar, representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit westlawfirmsc.com. WestLawFirmSC.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
If you have experienced water damage, storm damage, fire or smoke damage, or need mold remediation, you need RestoPros of the Midlands. Visit RestoProsMidlandsSC.com and go Gamecocks!
We are officially opened at the all-new JT's Kia.
You've got to see it to believe it.
We're serious about making your buying experience fast, friendly, and hassle-free.
Get grand opening 0% for 60 months on new JT's Kias. Put no money down and get my million-mile warranty. I'm so excited, savings up to $10,000.
I'll throw in $5,000 over book value for your trade. That's a grand opening for the record books.
Hurry to the all-new JT's Kia.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right. You know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
And now back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show here on a wide open Wednesday. Had a lot of lively topics in the chat box, and we just, you know, kind of skirted around some misery, but had a good time doing it, talking about the worst coaches for men's sports in Carolina, recent Carolina history. I'm with you, man. There's got to be somebody, you know, back in like the 20s and 30s and was really just a POS.
Yeah, nope. Probably like, some legend or something. Yeah, so, yeah. This guy was not an above board dude. You know, was like some outlaw or something. Just some bandit.
Yeah, that's right. Turned out to be a real bad dude.
Really was bad dude. But anyway, JD says, "Oh, Tom Herman was going to be Urban Meyer Jr., but I guess you never know." Yeah, I thought he was outstanding.
Yeah, Herman was a surprise. I think that going Texas, to Texas just was not the right fit.
It was Florida Atlantic for me because, you know, the thought is FAU's a pretty good job.
Yeah.
You know, and in their conference, right? And then he went down there and it's just weird. I don't know. He did get a little weird after a while. He's a little weird after a while. Harrison says, I'm not sure that Kirby Smart would be the same Kirby Smart we all know today. No, he wouldn't be. He was different. I mean, he's grown, as most Georgia fans will tell you that too. And all that good stuff. So Kirby wouldn't have done any better than Muschamp. Maybe not. You think about his early offensive coordinators at Georgia. Look, Dexter thought that Lou was going to be a bad hire. And honestly, a lot of people maybe thought the same thing after the 0-11 year, but then he turned it around and he was good. RIP Lou Holtz. Harrison says Beamer's done better than Napier probably would have done. Yeah. Think about the struggles with the offensive coordinator situation around here. And then think of it. If you couldn't change that, unless you fired the head coach.
Right.
I thought Napier's offense would work better at Florida than it did. But after watching it a couple of years, I don't know, man. Down there, you got to have a good scheme. Yeah, they're not going to tolerate that. Contrell likes a Beamer hire because it's recruiting and different, better than recycled head coaches. That's why he wasn't a fan of the Muschamp hire. Fair enough. Eden says, the only thing with baseball is that the program is on life support. You cannot afford to miss on this hire a third time. Third straight. Actually, it would be a fourth straight time if you count Holbrook. You have to get the right hire and make a splash and bring it back. I wouldn't make a risky hire this time. Well, they're all risky, but if it's not, if you know, all right, so here's my thing I said this morning. I'm just going to say this. I hope Monty Lee gets the job, and here's why. There's one reason. I think he's a good coach. I think he'd be a good fit. I am sick of losing. And for him to get the job, they are going to have to go on a run. And this team this year is going to have to win. I don't want to wait until next year. So selfishly, that's why I hope he gets it.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win, it's hard to hire him. You know, that's the bottom line. I mean, I'm sure he's already done a lot of good, but that's the way these things work. But, you know, Ethan, they're all risky and the, you know, South Carolina baseball job is good, but you also can't go. I said this morning, and based on Donati's kind of what he did for Beamer in football, like putting the money in, funny where his mouth is, my guess is they're going to attract a pretty good candidate pool for the gig, if it's not Coach Lee, and that they'll pay top dollar for it. And that they'll arm them with NIL money and stuff. He's not afraid to invest, in other words. And people may think that's kind of, well, what about Lamont Paris? Well, you know, you look at he's giving him resources again, and maybe the resources were lagging last year. And so he's trying to be fair with that. Baseball's cheaper, and also you can spend a little and get a lot more bang for your buck in that sport, and it matters. So I think he'll try to go, you know, I think he'll try to go get it done.
Yeah. Well, and Paul Maneri was not a first time power head coach either, like Coach Paris. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that might buy him another year of grace, yeah, as well as the difference in the NIL dollars between you and say the middle of the pack.
Yeah. I'll say this, you know, as far as risky hires, a lot of people think they want Kevin Schnall from Coastal. He's only been a head coach for 1 year. This is his second year as a head coach. So is there some risk? Did he have one shining moment? Did he just continue what, I mean, I, you know,
yeah, I mean, I've been to Omaha twice, and
I'll be honest. But last year I think Kevin Schnell. Did I say Schnell? Schnall.
You said Schnall. Yeah, yeah. You said
I did it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So until you started second guessing yourself, and then you're
I know, right, man. I've just been all messed up with it. So, Schnall was has only been the head coach there for 1 year, and that was last year. But I do have some news for you.
Oh,
about Kevin Schnall.
Mm-hmm.
Guess where he was an assistant coach for 3 seasons.
Oh, let's see. LSU?
UCF.
UCF.
Guess who the head coach was there?
Was it a Terry Rooney?
Terry Rooney. I only say that, Ethan, I'm joking, because it's like, yeah, there's warts.
Everybody's going to have a little bit of baggage.
He said, Miss Todd says he's not a Beamer fan. He's done a decent job. Do you envision a conference or national championship with Shane Beamer on the sidelines? He already showed his coaching to be subpar. I don't know, man. How many coaches are beating a bunch of top 10 teams at home in South Carolina through the years? How many coaches from 14 on were able to beat Clemson? I don't think he had a great year coaching, but I also think that, like as a things a head coach too, but I think you got to give him a chance to fix the OC's job, you know, because that matters a lot. And those have been mistakes. But he's recruited better than anybody in the history of the program, period. It's not even up for discussion. Better than Steve Spurrier, better than Luke Holtz, better than Will Muschamp. Shane Beamer has recruited more blue chip players to this program than anybody else. And so there are things about him that he does that are very good, right? But, you know, last year, yeah, there, it was coaching. The offensive, it was a disaster, you know, and it was disappointing. Bill said it was Hines, not Hunts. Brad wouldn't speak for Candy Ketchup. Dude, I swear to God it was Hunts, wasn't it? Or was it Hines? Am I wrong?
Let's see. Let me see here. Let's see.
Brad also used to the Duquesne Gas Grill. Yeah. Joe Morrison, Sparky Woods, Carolina Pride commercial. JD said I thought Charlie Strong was going to be one of the best coaches in football when he got the Texas job. Mastad said Napier was his own OC. It was Hines? See, I'm a Hines fan. My ex-wife's family is from Pittsburgh, and like somebody said in the chat box earlier, I wasn't allowed to only do Hines.
One of those candy ketchups. I'm sorry.
It was Hines. I am so sorry. I apologize.
I just gave your video another view, Lawman, by the way.
Lawman's video is awesome. Everybody, put it in the chat box, Phil. Give him some more views.
Let's see.
Dexter said Derek Dooley was pretty bad. Yeah, that was bad. He's running for Senate now. Beamer was a couple blown calls away from playing in Atlanta for the SEC championship. Yeah. TD says, I'm Team Monty, and if Schnall would come, he'd be the only other guy I'd talk to. Yeah. SC says, Monty has to advance to the postseason to be considered. I tend to agree. That's the minimum standard around here. And it's going to be tough, you know. I mean, that's not anything against him. He could do a fantastic coaching job. They don't get to the postseason. And, you know, if you're Donati, that's kind of just, you know, you're like, well, didn't quite do enough. Sorry.
Right.
I mean, that's just how the ADs look at it. Paul Maneri was the most unrisky hire we have made on the surface. Yeah. What do you think? Not a lot of people were knocking that hire. It just fell on its face. Can't blame Tanner for the thought process behind the hire. I'm not sure that was Tanner's first choice either. So. If Monty
morning show was,
if Monty gets it, it's because we won a bunch, not because of some lazy hire. What was being debated on the morning show?
Well, there was about 5 minutes on talking about whether or not Schnall would just drop everything and come to Columbia, right? Because Mike was of the opinion, well, if you just throw enough money at it, there's no reason for him not to come. And then JB's like, well, yeah, but, you know, you're definitely going to get a counter with an AD down there in Conway who is well documented to support baseball. And you're also, you know, he's not from round here. So it's not like mama's calling him
home.
He's
right. He's not, but he's from Pennsylvania, but he played at Coastal till 99, was an assistant there for 13 years, then had the stint with Terry Rooney at UCF, then came back to Coastal for 9. So 10. So he's been in Myrtle Beach for like 24 years.
Right.
So he's not a native, and he's not connected to Gamecock baseball, but he's been in the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1 year's head coach, you know, so and he's got this year, they're doing well again. So we'll see. I mean, when they won the national championship in 16, I didn't know that they'd ever get back. I mean, you know, but they certainly did. Yeah. Under him, and Coastal baseball is really good. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, I got a lot of respect for Chance Miller and the AD down there. I think he's fantastic and smart, you know. So, and creative. Chance has a lot of creativity. Oh, Mastad said, I'm not a baseball fan, but a guy years retired. Well, he wasn't retired any longer than Lou Holtz, or I mean, Spurrier was out of college football for that long. He was in the NFL a couple of years.
Yeah.
Now, Paul was a little older, but, you know, baseball, you have older dudes. So, look, I'm not defending it. I'm not saying – I think they would have been much better served if they would have just promoted Monty Lee to begin with. Devil be damned. You take the PR hit because of what happened at Clemson, and you let him see what he can do with it. I mean, especially considering they just wanted to take it above the level Kingston had it at, then just promote the guy from within. Take the PR hit, let all the Clemson fans laugh or whatever they want to do. And if that's your guy you believe in, do it. But, you know, it's never just one person's decision around here, you know, and all that matters. TD says, I know for a fact from a big time booster at CCU, his names are on science buildings. They're going to do whatever they have to do to retain Kevin.
Probably. Yeah. That's my thought too, is like, listen, if he continues to, you know, show like he's going to be good, then they're going to do everything they can to keep him, you know.
Quantrell says, is Pulmonary a modern day Bernie Madoff? Ray got bamboozled point blank. Yeah. Nathaniel says, why was Monty not hired? DCAC, I thought that was Tanner's first pick. Like I said, it's not just one man's decision around here. So anyway, JDS says people from PA and Ohio never leave Myrtle Beach once they move there.
That's right. That's right. Once you leave the Rust Belt and come to the Sun Belt, you don't go home.
Anyone down at the beach ever see sports bars on Saturdays when the Buckeyes are playing and what that looks, what does that look like? I'm wondering.
I don't know if it's still there, but for a while there, right there where 544 dumps out into 17, I guess that's technically right at the edge of Myrtle Beach and Surfside, there was this Steelers bar, right? That was just a big Steelers bar.
I bet, dude.
You can see the Ohio State flags flying in the fall down there all the time. Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Bruin said, I can't believe we shoved that old man in a two-bedroom apartment with no friends and no family. Y'all should be ashamed. He talked about that too. That was his choice. Why couldn't you? I mean, you make $1 million a year.
Hey, Paul, what's wrong with your wife that you didn't want her to move to Columbia with you?
Get you a townhouse? I mean, and on top of that, too, what makes you think when your clock's ticking, you know, and look, I'm saying that because I feel like my clock's ticking. You know, I value time a lot more at 49 than I did at 29. And I can't imagine being almost 70 and you got your family, which is everything, away from you, and that's time you don't get to spend with them. How are you really going to put all you can into coaching?
You can't.
That's very curious as well.
You know. That's why people don't make moves like that, because they don't want to disrupt their family. Like, you're like, nope, I'm good to stay where I am, because they don't want to come. And I don't want to come without them.
TD says Neil and Pam's in Surfside is the best game cut bar. I've been to Neil and Pam's. Trill says, I wonder what apartment it was in a club. I hope it was off Broad River Road. God, Quantrill.
He probably got confused, and it was, you know, an extended stay, and he just thought it was an apartment.
I'm eyeing some apartments down in Columbia myself. I have a friend of ours from up here. Her daughter just got a job with Blue Cross in Columbia, and got there's these apartments out near Lake Murray Dam. I've always liked, because they're kind of on the lake. Sure enough, she's living there. I was like, well, that's interesting. All right, Phil, we got to get out of here. Got to get another appointment.
I'm trying to find the right. I don't know where the
thanks for
went.
Joining us on Wide Open Wednesday. This is JC Sherbert. And that's Mad Dog Wallenax. We'll be back tomorrow. Only an hour show tomorrow, because I have a conference call. I got to get on. That's
right. And Alex is going to join us right at the top at noon. So we got to cross over.
So we got nothing. We got an NBS, nothing but smorgasbord.
That's right. Wall to wall.
Wall to wall smorgasbord action tomorrow. So get your plates clean. Made it all the way through the chat box there on a Wide Open Wednesday. Thanks for everybody for chatting it up. And we'll see you tomorrow. This has been Inside the Gamecocks Show. Moro Casino.
America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.